and welcome to Chats For You. This is the podcast where I, James, talk to people I like for you, the public. And that is really all it is. I asked some people if I could talk to them, some of them let me, and that is what's about to happen. It's a great premise. In this episode, episode 40, I talk to the comedian Jared Christmas. 40. Big, pretty big number. The old 40. Often when podcasters experience the start of their midlife podcasting crisis. Not me though. I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. But I guess sometimes I do worry, has it all been worth it? You know, asking question after question to these people. I've asked so many questions. And have they been the right questions? Yes, they have, because the guests have answered them. Oh, a crisis averted. That was a close one, but that's fine. Oh, back to normal. Okay, here's my chat with Jared Christmas. I hope you liked that acting. It was good, wasn't it?
So, Jared, this is... I've done about 40, 45 or 50 of these interviews now.
Showing off, I like
yep,
it.
Yep. And this is the very first one I've done without braces. This is
my
first
really?
Thing without braces. Yeah, I've had them for
years.
They
look good.
So how do you feel being in the presence for, like, my teeth for the first
time? Yeah, I like it.
Good. Do you like it?
What I like is there's no barrier between us now.
Yeah. It's just,
you know, if you had braces, I'd feel like, what's he hiding? But you're not hiding
anything.
Not
hiding anything.
I like it, mate.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
good.
You very much.
Well done for sticking with it.
Oh, yeah, it's 4 years. Quite a while.
Four years,
yeah. Not bad.
Yeah.
Well, bad, yeah. When was the last time you seen what you were doing just in like a situation in your life and thought, I am a silly boy?
Yeah, quite a lot. I've done a lot of things that, you know, I just will have a moment during it going, really? Is this? So, you know, like a couple of years ago, I did Let's Dance for Comic Relief.
Right.
And sort of dressed up as Madonna and danced to Hung Up, which is a great track. And I improved it by dancing dressed as Madonna. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I did a week long of rehearsal for that, and there was just a moment, you know, before doing the show that I'm there in the full outfit, and I was just thinking, this is going out to millions. Like, I've been busting a gut trying to be the best comic that I can, and then the one thing at that point that was going to reach millions was essentially me just putting on a dress and skipping around, really, you know. And that's when you just have moments of going, this is a bit ridiculous.
Yeah. What do you think would have happened if it was a live thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What would have happened at the last minute? You take off the costume, do your stand-up.
Oh, it would not have worked. I would have been in a lot of trouble.
Yep.
It would have tanked big time.
Still, a lot of people would have watched it.
A lot of people would have watched it, but they also would have watched me tank because it's not the right crowd for it. There would have been music blasting out.
So you don't think Madonna and your fans overlap?
No. Yeah, of course. Of course they do. I'm sure there's been people in my gigs who have got, you know, Vogue on their iPod.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of crossover between me and Madonna. Whether she thinks the same, then I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've fallen down some stairs because I had a cloak on.
Yeah.
You know, so there's that crossover. Yeah.
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 I'll ask her if she's
like this. Please do. She'll be on your 46th interview.
Yeah. She'll be 46. She'll probably like the teeth as well.
Yeah, she'd better. If she doesn't, there's something wrong with her.
I'll tell you about that, and then you can sort of have a word with her.
I'll chat to her.
I mean,
my only way to her initially was through Guy Ritchie, but they've broken up now, and I hear that's quite tense. So she's kind of been blocked off to me.
Yeah, so you can't get in touch with Guy Ritchie and be like, "Oh, this guy." You're
well,
good.
When I say my only avenue to her was through Guy Ritchie, I don't know Guy Ritchie, so.
Right.
But I've
quite got a risky avenue.
Very risky, bordering along stalkerish.
Yeah.
Got to be careful.
Just bordering, or actually...
Just bordering, yeah. It's all borderline.
Yeah. I like a good bit of silence.
It was good, that bit. Gave us all the moment to breathe.
Okay, if I were to become you...
You're right.
Okay, steal your identity,
yes.
For example.
Single white female.
Yes.
Yep. It's a movie reference. You've seen Single White Female, haven't you?
No, I've not.
Have you not seen Single White Female?
No, sorry.
Okay.
I disagree.
Watch it tonight.
Is it on Netflix?
It could be. It's pretty old. It could be on Netflix.
Okay.
Let's have a look. While you're looking up your next question...
I've got it already.
I'm going to crank up Netflix.
All right, okay.
How Netflix has just dominated now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
2 years ago, it was like, net who? I remember reading about Netflix ages ago. But anyway, I was just saying that to show off. Like, I was ahead of the curve.
I heard about it as well.
No, they don't have it.
Seen a tweet about it once.
They don't have it.
Do not?
No, they don't have it. They do have The Raid 2, though.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like a completely different film.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking Freaky Friday. All right.
Okay. If I were to come and use the other identity, what would you say are the three things I'd have to get right? In other words, what makes Jared Christmas Jared Christmas?
You would have to get the sexual prowess, you would have to get the charisma, and you would have to get the hairiness.
Okay, let's go through those a bit more detail.
Sure.
So the first one, get the, what was the first one?
Sexual prowess.
Sexual prowess. How would I go about...
I don't know if you can just I don't know if you can manufacture it, mate. I've just got it.
When did you realise you had it?
I think very early on, you know, when I was 9 years old, you know, a lot of my teachers, men and women, you know, they just used to, they didn't want to be in the room alone with me just in case it got,
right.
You know, like, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, got a bit Jimmy Savile, you know?
Oh,
so,
yeah,
but that was purely because of my sexual magnetism and, you know, that sort of prowess. It's I guess, cologne.
Okay.
You could wear some cologne.
Yeah, might do that.
It helps. I mean, I don't wear cologne. I just have natural pheromones that pump the juice out.
What smell is your pheromones closest to so I can get some in the shop?
I would say the smell is closest to... that smell you get just after sex.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it's closest to.
Yeah.
And what about the charisma?
Charisma smells the same. Wait.
This is down to the way to become you. So.
I know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying these are bullshit things. I don't know about charisma. Just be a nice guy, mate. Just try and be a nice guy. That's the main thing. I don't have any sexual prowess. I like to think my wife finds me sexy, and that's that. I'm happy with that. I don't need to sexually appeal to anybody else. I'm more than happy that my wife is actually into me. You know, it would just complicate things,
like,
if other people
were. It's like the best person to be into you.
Yeah, it would be awkward
definitely.
Yeah, if she wasn't into me and our next door neighbour was. That would be awkward,
especially
because our next door neighbour's a dude.
Yeah.
But not that there's anything wrong with that, I'm just saying that's not, you know, I respect gay people and all their choices, but if he chose me, I'd say I can't respect that choice, mate, because I can't reciprocate.
Right, yeah.
But anyway, that's just a long way of saying I love my wife and hopefully she... is still sexually into me even though I've put on weight, and it would be complicated if someone else was. So in answer to the sexual prowess, that was just a joke.
Okay,
guys, I don't have any sexual prowess. I just try not to annoy people, but looking back on what I've just said, I possibly broke that rule.
I'm going to cut out the bit of you saying I don't have any sexual prowess, and that's the full podcast.
Please do. Be kind in the edit. Be kind in the edit. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to be nice, does it? It doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
You know, and it feels good to be nice to people, and they feel good, so why can't we all just be nice, you know?
And the last one was hairy. Be hairy.
Be hairy. Mate, you just rub Regain on every surface of your body.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's the secret.
Yeah, do want to get home.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say pre-gig... When you're having the standard nerves,
yes,
and you're getting into your own headspace, you're getting ready to go out there and entertain these people.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, whose headspace would you rather be in terms of you then have their confidence? And like someone said, Barack Obama, they like to have a confidence with Barack
Obama. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who would you like if you had to pick someone?
I would like to have the confidence of those. There's people out there who are oblivious to their lack of ability. You know, like in the first rounds of X Factor, you just see people going on there with all this confidence.
Yeah,
you go,
yeah,
that
yeah.
is amazing. But then the dog shit.
Yeah.
And you just go, where did that confidence come from?
Yeah.
Sometimes I just would love to have that blind... You see it on the comedy circuit, on the open mic circuit. There's people on there who just have this full belief in themselves, but no ability to back it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes me wonder sometimes that maybe, you know, that's the price, you know, that you have... You can be confident in your abilities, but as a comic, if you're any good, you know each show is going to be different. You can go out there being confident in your material, in your ability, but you can't be confident in the random elements that are going to be in that audience, you know. Or you can't be confident in the shit that's happened to you during the day, which, no matter how hard you try, somehow ekes out into your performance, and that people pick that up and it affects it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think maybe like the blind confidence and ignorance only comes with a lack of ability.
Right, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas if you're very talented, confidence can come from that talent, but it's not going to be blind, is it? Because
you're
going to be aware.
Uh-huh.
So a very deep answer.
That's very deep.
What you're kind of after? I didn't give a name to be in the head of George Clooney!
George Clooney.
I'd like to be in his head and in his pants.
Oh, okay. Just those two areas.
No, his pants just look really comfortable.
Yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah.
Look pretty. He seems happy as well when he's walking around. You see his face, he seems alright. Probably happy in the pants area.
Yeah, and that's a dude who seems very happy with where he is in life.
Yeah.
I like it.
Good on George Clooney. Well done.
Yep. That's for you, Clapping. George.
Yep.
That's for you.
Okay, I'll try this out. I've got a brand new question for 2015.
Whoa, and you're trying it out on me.
I've already tried it once for Fred Colley.
Oh, how did he go?
He's as well. He's a good one.
But he does well with things, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's like that.
All right.
Okay. So this is quite...
Fred McCauley once drove me to a beach to look at dolphins.
Did he?
Yeah.
How was it? How was the experience?
It was great. It was up in Inverness. We went out to some... And we saw some... I think they might have been porpoise. But they were swimming out. It was great. It was really good. And then we walked through a fog and heard horses. And we're like, what? On a beach, why can we hear horses? And next thing out of the fog came horses.
Yeah.
It was a pretty majestic moment, and we held each other.
Held each other.
Yeah, it was beautiful. His wife was there as well, and that was awkward because she was saying, "Fred, why aren't you holding me in this beautiful moment?" And I said, "Now you know how it feels to be a third wheel."
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so how are things between you and Fred and his wife right now?
I haven't seen them since then. Gigging with him tonight, so hopefully the awkwardness is going to be gone.
Right.
Yeah.
I wish you all the best.
Thanks,
that.
Man. I'm going to need it. I'm going to need it.
So, yeah, this new question for the
Go
year.
On.
What's the greatest journey you've ever been on?
Yeah. That is good.
It's not bad, isn't it?
That is really good. When I moved from New Zealand to the UK in 2000, that journey began because I'd been doing stand-up in New Zealand. 98 I started. Wasn't a huge amount of gigs available. But anyway, I did it. Set some gigs up myself. And then I did a small business course. Because my idea was I was going to run once a month gigs all around the South Island of New Zealand. But time it so that it was pretty much... I was, you know, had a run of 6 or 7 gigs. Like... So I could get comics down from Auckland to do a tour with me sort of thing, and I'd host them and all that. And so that was my business plan, you know, and I had a friend who promoted bands and stuff, so I had contacts through him. You know, I had it all planned out. That was my business. I was in, you know, I did a small business course. That was the plan. And then a motivational speaker came in and handed us a big piece of blank paper and a Sharpie. And said, write, without even thinking, write down what it is you really want to do. And I wrote down, go to London, do stand-up. And When I wrote that, at the end of the day, I told my tutor that I wasn't coming back tomorrow. I went straight to a flight centre and bought a one-way ticket to London. Then went home and told my parents I'm moving out. And they were like, oh, great. What, down the road, like your brother? No, I'm moving to London. And getting on that flight, Singapore Airlines, lovely. But getting on that flight, I had no idea. I had no idea what was coming at me and how hard it was going to be.
Yeah.
It was just pure naive. Every decision was made like, boom. But that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. Didn't put any thought into, God, this might actually be quite difficult, mate. You know, I didn't even bring over a job CV sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I just thought, I'm going to hit London and I'll be straight on stage at the Comedy Store sort of thing. To the point that I rung the Comedy Store on my first day. I arrived at 6 in the morning. You know, 11 o'clock in the morning that day, I'm phoning the Comedy Store going, I'm a comic from New Zealand. You know, can you put me on for 20 minutes? And they're like, no, we don't know. We don't know who you are sort of thing. You know, so that was when it started dawning on me, like, what the fuck have you done? This is not going to be easy. But I was here. I had a one-way ticket, and I did open mic gigs, and I loved them. And, you know, so that, I think, journey-wise, looking back, that was pretty incredible.
Yeah,
I remember my first night in London. I'd gone to, there was an improv tournament, like an international improv festival, at the Bloomsbury Theatre in London, and I was on at that, so representing New Zealand,
sure,
and so did that, and afterwards there was a party, and so at 1 o'clock in the morning I was in Trafalgar Square, you know, looking at, you know, the Lions and Nelson's Column and stuff like that, and just thinking, you know, a day and a half ago I was in Christchurch, New Zealand, and I knew what my life was, and now.
Yeah.
Don't even know what bus to get to my cousin's house, and I don't even know what my cousin's house looks like at night time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, looking back, that was quite an incredible journey.
So how long did it take you to then, when you were here, to sort of realise that, oh, I've got things sorted out now, things are alright?
I think a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I did jobs during the day and did stand-up at night, but you know, even when I was earning money from stand-up, and that was my goal, I just wanted to earn money from stand-up. But then when that happens, you set yourself another goal, you know, and then hopefully you achieve that, and you just keep resetting the goal,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, then you plateau and you get bored. So you got to keep challenging yourself. So I'd say I'm more comfortable now. You know, I've got a wife, kids, you know, this is my life, you know, and I've achieved... You know, I look after my wife and kids, and, you know, we've got a house, and that's because of stand-up and because of that choice I made writing down on a piece of paper back in bloody 2000. But I don't know if I'm quite comfortable, as in, you know, I've still got goals.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'd still want to move towards them. I wouldn't say I'm ready to put my slippers on.
Is this one of them? What's happening right now, our chat?
This podcast, I'd heard about it,
yeah,
and I was
yeah.
like, "That, you know, my life will not be complete unless we tick that box."
Yeah.
And, you know, what you've done is you pull me out of the moment. You know, I was wanting to get through this entire podcast just being in the moment.
Yeah.
But now I'm sort of hovering above, looking down on us, going, oh, it's happening, man! It's happening!
So, yeah, that was a very good answer to that question.
Thanks, mate. Good question. Keep that in for the rest of the year, I reckon.
Yes. I've got, well, coming up is my trademark question.
Oh, here we go.
But I'll leave that bit.
Okay, cool.
I'll do another one first. So, let's say I want an exclusive Jared Christmas moment. So, something you think you've maybe not done or said on an interview before, something just like a phrase or something, anything. Just so I can plug it and say, on this exclusive, Jared Christmas. I've already got you checking Netflix. You did that. Have you done that?
Yeah, Netflix was, I've never done that. I guess I could tell you something that I've never said on a podcast.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll give you options. okay. So... When I was... So I can either tell you a story of something really bad that I did when I was 5 years old.
Okay.
It was actually pretty bad. Or when I was 15, how I become involved in the porn industry as a sort of low-level supplier.
It's
a tough call, isn't it? You didn't come here expecting to answer questions.
No, I've not got my answer in.
So it's either something really bad that I did when I was 5, mm-hmm. or being involved in the porn industry when I was 15.
Right now I'll have the masses of audience screaming at me, ask him this one! Ask him the one about the... let's go for the bad 5-year-old one.
Okay, cool.
And then maybe the other one as well.
Alright, sure. Well, this one's pretty short. So I was 5 years old. The primary school I was going to was right next door to a nursery, you know, kindergarten. And after school, I used to walk home by myself. We only lived, you know... Well, no, it was the 80s, mate. You walked home by yourself when you were 5. There wasn't anything, you know... No one was panic-faced about anything. Yeah. That shit was going on. We just didn't know it was going on, right? So anyway, and also this is New Zealand in a place called Invercargill where, you know, everyone knows everyone, so it was fine. But anyway, so I just don't want you to think that my parents were neglectful.
Oh.
So anyway, after school, I went with a mate of mine to the kindergarten to pick up his little brother. And it was in the middle of winter, and all the parents were inside collecting the kids, whatever, and me and my mate were outside, and there was a slide that was embedded into a hill, right? So you climb to the top of the hill, and there's a slide, like, actually in the hill. And at the bottom was a pool of water that had just accumulated, and it was frozen over. And we're at the top of this hill, and there was a girl from another school there. She was from a school called Sacred Heart. I'll always remember that, because we used to say Sacred Heart did a fart, blew the whole world apart.
Very
and
good.
So thank you, and that's stuck with me since I was 5, right? I don't know why. I do not to this day. I don't know why, but I just fucking shoved her down that slide, right? And she fucking flew down, screaming all the way down. It was a pretty lengthy slide. Flew down there, straight through the ice in the bottom of that pool, right? Straight through, went full submerged, burst up out of the water. It's middle of winter, ice fucking cold. She is screaming. I see all the parents inside turn and look, and then one dad flings open the door and comes running over. It's blatantly his daughter, right? And that's when I leg it, and I run out of the kindergarten, and I run on my way home. But this is an adult, right? So I know I can't outrun this guy. But what I did know was if I could just get to a gap, to a part of the fence that I could climb, there were some bushes that me and some mates had like a little hideout sort of thing in there. And I knew I could fucking hide in there. But I had to get there before he got out and saw me do it sort of thing. So I vividly remember just running as hard and as fast as I could. Anyway, so I leap this little fence, hide in the bush. In the bush, I could see the footpath. And this dad, so fucking angry. I see him run past. And I see him pacing up and down, up and down. And I'm doing that thing you see in the movies, you know, when you just got your hand over your mouth. Because I'm fucked. If he finds it, I am fucked. And this is the 80s. He would have had no issue punching my lights out, right? So I was fucked. But anyway, he ends up giving up, and I walked home through the fields. Do you know what I mean? Like, took me 40 minutes to walk home because I didn't want to go out onto the roads and get busted. And, I mean, I never saw that girl again or anything like that. But I did that when I was 5. And it still vividly is with me. And I do not know why I did that. And I've never told that story.
Yeah.
I really fucked her down there, man. Like, big. She got some air. I pushed her. She got a bit of air. And then she hit the slide. And I can just see her smashing through that ice, man.
God.
That is brutal.
Do you ever know if she...
And now that I'm a father...
Nice. Do you ever...
Yeah, of course. I saw her...
Yeah.
stand up. She was older than me as well. Right. She would have easily been 2 or 3 years older than me, bigger. And, I caught her by surprise. That's the only way I could. Like to think she must have been giving me some smack.
I just thought maybe you could go there and still be nice.
Yeah, just frozen. but now as a dad of daughters, I can totally understand that guy's rage, man.
Yeah.
Like, proper rage. Because if that happened to one of my kids, and I saw it happen, I saw the kid who did it, I wouldn't be able to do anything. Like, in the 80s, he would have been able to slap me or something right. like that. But now, I wouldn't be able to do anything these days. I'd be able to get him and go, naughty step! And it just wouldn't do it.
Right,
would it?
Right.
That wouldn't be revenge enough.
Yeah. So what about this?
Or maybe I'd take him up. I'd fling him down the slide as well. Do you think I'd be able to get away with that?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Learn from your own actions.
Yeah.
Taste your own meds.
But would the police be called, do you reckon, if I did that?
I don't know.
Like, if that guy got hold of me.
Yeah, yeah.
And chucked me down the slide as well, would he have got in trouble? Not in the 80s.
Yeah. I don't know. Not sure now. It depends.
I don't know.
It's hard.
But then, you've probably got a load of parents there who are going, do it, mate. None of us are going to talk
to
anyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. So what, this other story, the one, the porn one.
Yeah, it's a bit more involved, that one. Essentially, when I was 15, a mate of mine was working in a corner shop.
Do you think this is going to redeem yourself after the last story?
Maybe.
Definitely the longest answer.
Do I need redemption after that? I need to be thrown down the slide into some icy water. Yeah. That's what I need.
Let's arrange that.
And whenever bad things happen to me, every now and then that story flicks into my mind. I'm like, oh yeah, it's karma. It's taken 30 years to catch up on me, but it's karma. but maybe that's my punishment, isn't it? I have to live with.
I've lived with that. Knowledge of that.
God, I'm talking like I went to fucking Afghanistan or something. But yeah, when I was 15, a mate of mine worked at a corner shop, and he found out where the owners threw the out of date pornos out. Because what they'd do is they'd cut half the cover off with the barcode, send that back, and I'd get a bit of a refund on it.
Right.
But then they had to get rid of the magazines, and so he found where they threw them out. So once a month, me and another mate called Scott, everyone called him Scotty Too Hottie, we would meet, and then he would pass these pornos over the fence to us. And so, I was 15, and after 2 months, I had, a decent, like 20 porno magazines of really good quality porno magazines,
Top-notch stuff.
Yeah, not found in a hedge sort of stuff.
Right,
this is straight from the shop level sort of thing. And then, of course, my brother finds out about it, my older brother, and next thing, his mates, he obviously tells his mates, so I just start hiring the pornos out to his mates, for a dollar. My brother, I'm like, yeah, you can borrow whatever ones you want, but your mates have to pay a dollar. And I was like, and then they get them for a week, and then they have to bring it back. And, of course, they're 2 years older than me, they're 17-year-olds. They're not going to bring them back, are they? But then it didn't matter because every month I was getting a new, fresh supply. So I was essentially selling porno magazines for a dollar. But I was doing all right, mate. I was doing all right. And then I went on a school camp and I saw this as a very good business opportunity. School camp, 3 days. Guys are going to want porn, right? So I take 10 porno magazines in my backpack. And I had to hike them, man. I had to, because we had to hike for half a day to get to this campsite. Yeah, I've got... Do you know how heavy 10 porno magazines are? They are... It's heavy, man. Some of them were penthouse, and that's a thick...
I've not done that experiment yet, but I'll give it a go.
Well, I mean, you do it. Do it soon, because online is going to get rid of magazines, mate.
Just carry 10 computers.
Yeah, 10 laptops. But it was heavy, and I was... I was regretting it. But then I rented them out for $3 for the whole time. Do you know what I mean? That's $30, man. And there was a shop on the campsite. So I'm the dude who's going to the shop and buying chocolate bars for him. I was the Mac Daddy. It was wicked. And then on the last day of camp, we're all sitting at these picnic tables having breakfast. And one of the teachers starts going into each of the tents to make sure everybody's up. And he's nearing my tent that I shared with two other guys. And I suddenly thought, what's happened with the porno magazines? So I turned to guys who are, you know, I said to them, what did you do with the porno mags? And they're like, oh, I just chucked it in your tent on the way to breakfast. What? No. And next thing I said, teacher, go into my tent. And he was in there for ages. And he comes out with a stack of porn. He's got every single one. Like, all 10 guys who paid £3 just fucked it back into the tent. Oh, here we go. So we were tent six. So, you know, the teacher goes, tent six, see me over here, sort of thing. And so me and my two tent mates get up and go over. And I was the big guy. You know what I mean? I stepped up at that point and I said, look, the porno magazines are mine. These guys had nothing to do with them. So he let them go. So I just get this bollocking, right? And, you know, he's doing saying things like, what will your mum and dad think? And I was genuinely thinking, I think my parents would kind of find it a bit funny. But you can't say that. Not when a teacher's angry at you. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. He said, so I got banned from all the final activities of the day, which were all the cool things. I had to clean the kitchen and all that. I did the horrible. And he said, and I'm calling your parents as soon as we get back. It might not be today because we might get back too late, but I'll definitely phone them tomorrow. And so for a week after that camp, whenever the home phone rang, I would run for it to answer it, thinking, oh, I've got to cut this off. I've got to cut this off. And I was so paranoid about it that after about a week, you know, my parents were in the living room and my parents just say to me, you know what, you haven't told us anything about camp. And I was so paranoid and panicked that I just blurted out, oh, if it's about the pornos, none of them are mine. And they were like, what? What did you just say? It was like, nothing? And I said, yep, yeah, what's this about pornos? Do you know what I mean? So I kind of hung myself out there, but, you know, didn't admit that they were mine. But it was, my parents still found it very funny that I confessed, even though they had no idea, sort of thing. So I started thinking, maybe I need to get out of this business. This is pretty risky, man. You need to get out of this business. But then Scotty Too Hotty gives me three VHS porns. Three VHS porns. So I was like, back in the game. We're back in the game. You know, two of them I immediately rent out to my brother's mates for $5. And I'm going, sweet, this is great. They have that $5, $10 a week. This is going to be great. And the other one, my parents went out, so I chucked it in the VCR player, and I was like, this is brilliant. But then I knew the time my parents were going to be coming back. So I stopped it and tried to eject it, and it got stuck in the machine, right? So I'm looking at my watch going, my parents are coming home any minute now, so I have to unscrew the VCR, lift the casing off it, rip the tape out, put the casing back on, screw it back down. I was so panicked and angry about the tape that I went outside and smashed it on the pavement. But then it's plastic and tape everywhere, so my parents arrive home as I'm tidying all that up, and my dad's like, what's this? And I was like, oh, I just, the tape got caught in the VCR and I just got really angry with it. And he was like, well, which tape is this? And I was like, oh, it's just one that I borrowed from somewhere. It's Ninja Turtles. My dad was like, alright. So he starts helping tidy up the fragment, and we went for the same fragment, but I grabbed it first, and it's lucky I did, because it was the bit with the title
right
on there, and I remember the title. It was A Cockwork Orange, and I got that before he did, but he could have easily picked that up, right? So I was like, I've got to get out of the game. So the next day I threw all my porno magazines into a wood burning sort of fireplace. It's the middle of summer, right? But I just fucking chuck them in there and get some fire lighters, chuck there in there, all goes, my whole business up in flames. I was like, I'm out. Yeah. I'm done. This is me. I am done. But it was maybe 3 months later and it's getting cold. And my dad said, go and light the fire. I was like, all right, cool. So I opened up the fireplace, pulled the window thing down. And there was just a picture of a vagina just staring straight at me, and it had been there for 3 months. Like, anyone could have, there were just moments where I could have just totally been busted.
Yeah,
I just thought, it's too dangerous, man.
Yeah, too risky.
I'm out. But in 1996, I did write an essay on the Atlanta Olympics, copied straight from a Playboy magazine. Because, you know, it was due in. And I'd seen that there was an article there, so I just copied it, word for word, handed it into my English teacher, knowing that if he busted me for plagiarism, then he's got porno magazines, right?
Yeah.
Or I'm going to get away with this. And I did. I did. Got away with it.
Yeah.
I got a double D plus.
Oh.
That's just a joke.
Yeah.
But it wasn't great journalism because I think I only got a C. So people who say I only read Playboy for the articles, you're like, well, you're not reading good articles.
Yeah,
mate.
Yeah, yeah.
It's only a C.
Only got a C.
Yeah.
I think you redeemed yourself.
Did I? And then I got out of the biz. Yeah. I got out of the business. My empire would have collapsed with you porn anyway.
So, trademark question time. Get ready.
I'm ready for it.
This is, yeah, so like, all your professional interviewers, like Letterman and all that, they think you sort of, you need a lot of talent and you need to be really good at all this interview stuff. I think you just need one killer question.
Yeah. I think you've been nailing it so far, mate.
Thank you. That's very
kind. Right.
So yeah, I think you just need one killer question.
Go on.
What do you like?
This interview's over. I refuse to answer that question. This interview is done. What do I like? God, I like so many things.
That's a good question.
It is a good question. I like custard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like custard. Pre-made custard as well. You know, from... I would rank it. I would say best shop-bought pre-made custard in the container. Marks and Spencer's do a Madagascan vanilla custard.
Oh, God.
It's pretty special. I mean, I don't even use a spoon on that shit. Just straight in.
I'm putting an end to this now. You cannot top it.
But they also do a carton of, like, traditional custard, which is gloopy and amazing. Next up would be Waitrose. Waitrose do a pretty damn good vanilla pod custard there. You've got to go... And don't go for low-fat custard. That just does not cut it.
Yeah,
don't go for that. Homemade custard is incredible. Like, custard when you go into a restaurant and it's proper egg yolks and cream and they've just made it there. That's pretty special. And way down the bottom is your shit that you get, long life stuff. I can't remember what it's called, but it can come in a can.
Yeah, no,
or for some reason I'm thinking Devonport or something like that.
Yeah.
But that stuff is the worst you can possibly get. I would take Bird's powdered custard dry over that canned stuff. And Tesco's is pretty low down as well. God, I really want custard now.
Yeah, I want
even custard. A custard cream, actually.
Yeah. I don't get any custard in here.
No, I haven't got custard here, mate.
Oh, God.
If I did have custard here, I would have eaten it before you arrived. I'm not sharing custard. And I like it cold.
Yeah.
Like, heated up custard gets runny. I like it gloopy. And also, if you heat up custard and you allow it to cool, it gets the skin on the top. And I don't, you know, and you can peel the whole skin off.
Yeah.
And I always think that's how they figured out how to make lino, like linoleum, was just that skin from the top of custard.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, just put that on the kitchen floor.
Yeah.
Be fine. But yeah, God, really, custard, I like.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
What other things you like?
What other things do I like?
That's a follow-up question.
Another hard-hitting follow-up question. What else do I like? I like reading books. I like sci-fi.
Yeah. What sort of books are you in there?
Well, I got into a real kick of zombie fiction. Got into that. But what I'll do is I'll just get really into a genre or a style, and I'll just read and read and read in that, and then I'll have to come out of it and read something completely different. So I get really obsessed with military sci-fi, like space stuff. So I'll read heaps of that. and then I'll have to move on to something else for a little bit before I can go back to that. So I've done recently, I've plowed through zombie stuff. It's a great series of books on Kindle called Arisen. There's 8 of them. It's basically special forces versus zombies. It's amazing. At the moment, I'm into really cool sci-fi that it's, you know, you don't know what's going on, that sort of stuff. Like, there's the one I'm reading at the moment is called The Stone Man. And, you know, basically this 8-foot stone man just suddenly appears in Coventry. Do you know what I mean? And then starts walking and demolishing things. And no one knows how to stop it, and they don't know what it's after. Right? It's that. I'm into that sort of stuff at the moment. And then, of course, Game of Thrones and all that chop and change. And also...
Sorry. It's very technical.
I could talk about books for ages, so, you know, whatever.
No, well, I wasn't being rude there. I was just
You were like, can we not... Why can't you say you like strippers or something like that?
Oh, yeah, I know.
I don't like strippers. I don't like strippers. I respect them.
Yeah.
I have too much respect... Mm. To go to a club.
As a really tickly bit in my throat, and I thought if I let this stay there for any longer...
Whatever, mate.
I might not be able to talk.
I've heard about your codes that you have. Rob Rouse told me about it.
I've heard you're doing a podcast with this guy. Here are his codes.
Yeah, yeah. If he coughs partway through one of your answers, it means he's finding it tedious. And you know what else I like? That. I like that kind of attitude. I like it. I like board games. I like Monopoly. I like I like Risk. I like hanging out with my family, but I guess that would move more into the love section rather than the just like it.
I
love it.
I've had a few people say what they love and I've just not accepted it.
You've not accepted what they love? No, because that's not the question, mate. Not the question.
Just sort of give them a disapproving look and leave.
Here you go. Here's a reposit question.
Okay.
Can you say that? Is that the right term?
Reposts?
Repost?
Is that right?
No, deposit. Here's a deposit. No, anyway.
Hello.
What do I look like I like?
Oh, okay. What do you look like you like? That's a tricky question.
Have a guess at something that you think... Like, if you look at me, you go, oh, that guy likes... And then I'll see if you're right.
Well, what if I say something and you consider it as rude?
Well, I've opened myself up for it, haven't I? I mean, you're more than welcome to say, that guy likes food.
I can guess things...
I can tell that guy likes food.
I was going to say pizza.
Pizza!
Because I think a lot of people like pizza.
Yeah, pizza's good. Pizza's good, but it's not my favourite of foods. Come on, let's do this food thing. What do you reckon my favourite food is? We've eliminated pizza.
Okay.
Pizza's gone.
I reckon like a good bit of pasta. Oh, no.
I'll eat
chicken.
Pasta. Chicken. Chicken goes with everything. Chicken's pretty good.
Yeah, chicken's
pretty good.
Big shout out to chicken.
Chicken in the house!
If chicken is listening. I've not said the best one yet.
No. Let's talk style. Country of food. It's tough, man, because you're not really going on much. You've done a bit of research. You've looked on my website.
I've looked on the website and clicked on the bit that takes me to an Asian bit.
Oh. Hello, there's clues there, isn't there? Hello.
Asian cuisine.
Ooh, but which type?
Chinese?
No. No.
Oh, God. I've ruined it. Messed it all up.
We should end this now. I mean, I like Chinese food.
Yeah.
Thai. Amazing.
It's amazing.
Thai food's good.
I should explain that bit about the website if it's not for listeners. There's a bit on his website.
Yeah.
If you click to it, it takes you to a menu
of a Chinese
Asian restaurant.
I don't even know if it's Chinese. It could be Korean for all I know. It's not Chinese because it doesn't look like Chinese characters they're using. It actually looks Japanese.
Japanese,
yeah. I know a little bit of Japanese. Yeah. You know, hi, jijimashite, dozo yoroshiku, boku wa Jared des. That's hey, how's it going? My name's Jared. It's pretty good.
I like it.
I know London Bridge is burning down in Japanese. Falling down
okay.
In Japanese.
On you go.
Rondonbashi ochita, ochita, ochita. Rondonbashi ochita, rondonbashi. It's pretty good.
That's good.
Thank you.
Is that an exclusive?
Yeah, it is.
Three exclusives.
Boom, 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 and boom.
This is the... This has got two more
questions.
This is
the end.
Two more questions.
Okay.
This is the deepest question.
Whoa.
How deep is your love?
Go on.
How deep is this question? What would you like to ask yourself?
What?
What would you like to ask yourself?
What would I like to ask myself?
Yeah.
I would like to ask myself why I'm so into sugar.
Right.
And I think that's my addiction, man. I'm not, you know, I'll drink booze, but I'm not an alcoholic. I don't really do drugs. I don't gamble at all. But I bloody love a bit of cake.
Oh, yeah.
Bit of cake, cookie, custard. I've managed to curtail my soft drink drinking.
Right, good.
You know, and the way I've done that is by drinking sparkling water, because I tricked myself into, it's bubbly!
Right, yeah.
But I still, every now and then, will, fuck it, today I had a creaming soda.
Oh, God.
I went into that place in the shopping mall up there, American Candy.
Oh, no.
And they had A&W creaming soda. I saw it in the window. And I couldn't just walk past, mate. I had to go in.
You could have walked past.
I could have walked past, but I dropped a £1.50. £1.50 on a can of sugar. It was really nice. It was really nice.
That's fine.
But then, is it worth it? Do you mean, is it worth it?
Was it worth it? Did it feel like...
Not financially, but just, is it worth putting your body through that? You know, because I get to the end of the day and I go, dude, you've had a cookie, you've had a bit of cake, you've had some crisps. I mean, I've had meals as well. You've had a creaming soda. But have you had some fruit? Have you had some fruit? No.
No.
What is wrong with me? I'm addicted to sugar. That's the question I'd ask, is why can't you beat the sugar habit?
Any way I could help, do you think?
Other than you'd have to move in with me into a hotel room for 2 weeks as I go cold turkey.
Right, okay.
And just, you know, like you'd have to stop me because I would fight you after 2 days of not having a chocolate bar. I would fucking kill you.
Didn't take that long, 2 days.
I would. Yeah, I think I could last two days. Yeah. But then I would be...
furious.
Mate, I would be fucking Wolverine. You know, nothing would be... I would be like that Eminem... lyric of like two dogs, I'm gonna tear this motherfucking roof off like two dogs caged. I'm gonna go batshit crazy. And you're gonna have to weather that, mate. You're gonna have to hold me down, sit on me, and just go, ride it out. And I'm like, fuck you, give me some, man. I'll be going sniffing around trying to get any fucking sugar, just to even a granule of sugar, just to put it on my tongue and savour it, but you would have to fucking stop me, man.
Well, if you let me know what fortnight's good for you, and then we'll see.
Yeah, I'll email you. Cool.
And finally. Anything you'd like to add or just get off your chest at the end of this chat?
Not really. I think I offloaded quite a lot on you, to be honest. That sounds rude.
But yeah, so had a nice time. Enjoyed it.
It's been alright. It's been alright. I mean, it's no comedian's comedian, is it?
Yeah. That's true.
No, it's been really enjoyable, mate. Really enjoyable. And now, you know, it's been a great day. I did some filming for this Muff Productions Daniel Sloss and Tom Stade are doing. So I did that today. And then now you've popped over and we've done this, which has been thoroughly enjoyable. Now I've got a gig at the Stand.
Yeah, not bad.
You know, so I think it's been a pretty good day.
Cool.
Pretty good day. You know, and I've had some cake.
Yeah, I might get some cake on the way home.
Really, cake or custard, mate?
Yeah, that's hard.
The problem is that the nearest places to me here are either Sainsbury's or Tesco's.
Yeah.
And they're pretty low on my custard-o-meter.
Yeah, pretty down there.
I'd have to go to the train station to get Marks and Spencer's. Still, that's not that far away. It's a lot of effort, though. It's uphill. But then it's downhill on the way back.
Yeah. So 50-50.
You've got to consider all... I'll get a taxi to get some custard.
Cool. Well, thank you for doing this,
Derek. No, thank you. Thank you, mate.
That was my chat with Jared Christmas. Thank you very much to Jared for giving me some of his time. And if you want to find out more about him, you can go onto his website, jaredchristmas.com, and that's Jared with two R's, and then you probably know how to spell Jared with two R's, and then Christmas, classic way to spell it, .com, and then his Twitter is Jared Christmas, again, same Jared, double R, you can find him on there. And so yeah, thanks for listening to this, and happy. I sort of want to end with a nice thing, but I don't really. It's not like the start of a month. Happy rest of March. Happy rest of March. There we go. That'll do. If you like this podcast, you can follow the Twitter account at Chats4You. And if inclined to do so, you could also leave a glowing 5-star review on the iTunes store to help it get a little bit more attention. But nothing less than glowing. So just to make that clear, a glowing 5-star review on the iTunes store. Thank you. This podcast was an Imminent Joy production. Visit imminentjoy.com. For a bunch of different funny people doing a bunch of different funny things.